Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about payment systems. And today I'm focusing in on consumer payment systems. So this is when you personally want to make a payment, whether it be in a restaurant or a bar or a shop or a station or anything like that. And over the last 10 years or so, we've all moved away from using cash. Firstly, we all moved to cards with the ease of contactless. And most recently, we've all gone onto our phones. So everybody now uses Apple Pay or Google Pay or something similar. So this is something we've all taken for granted. But one of the first things that impacted on consumers in Russia after the invasion of Ukraine was the withdrawal of all of these payment systems. And obviously that caused major problems both for consumers and retailers in Russia. So in today's video, we'll have a look at which payment systems are the biggest in the world. We'll then talk about exactly what happened in Russia after the start of the war and the development of Russia's own competitor called MIR. We'll then have a look at Russia's international expansion of MIR and what's happened over the last month or so as a direct result of the USA writing to the central banks in a number of countries warning them that use of the MIR payment system is actually in breach of the financial sanctions against Russia, and therefore all of those countries are potentially at risk of secondary sanctions. We'll then have a quick discussion about secondary sanctions themselves. And then finally today, I'll finish up with my summary as to what I think the implications of the loss of these payment systems and the problems that Russia is now encountering with MIR are for Russia, its consumers, and the Russian economy. So before we get started on all of that, yes, you've guessed it. I'm going to ask you for a thumbs up and I'm going to ask you to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters. So if you don't have time to watch the entire video, you can pick and choose which sections you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. And once again, I'd just like to say thank you so much to everybody that has bought me a coffee, that has sent me a Super Thanks, that's joined the YouTube membership and joined Patreon, or even has just used the links for the Amazon shopping and I've been paid a very small commission. All of that really adds up. Firstly, financially, it's a great help. But secondly, it's a really good boost. It shows that people are liking the videos. It gives me direct feedback and really gives me that motivation to crack on and keep making more videos like this. Before we move on to talk about the Russian payment systems in detail, I thought it'd be interesting to look at which are the biggest payment methods used globally right now. This table shows the value of the 9 largest payment methods used in 2021. And the chart at the bottom here is measured in thousands of billions of dollars, which is essentially trillions of dollars. Now, this data is really interesting because if you look at the brands that are listed on the left-hand side of this chart, we've actually got 2 different types of companies and payment methods. We've got 3 companies that provide credit and or debit card payment systems. And we've got 6 companies that provide digital payment methods. So if we look at Visa, which is the company at the top of this list and processed more than $10 trillion worth of transactions in 2021, Visa is a company that provides payment cards that are linked directly to either checking accounts or credit accounts. So your bank, which for example might be Bank of America, provides you with a plastic card which enables you to make payments using the Visa system. So you think of it as your Visa credit or debit card, but actually that is just a system of moving the money from your checking account to the account of the retailer that you're looking to pay. So over the last 30 or 40 years, we've all got very familiar with the concept of using plastic to pay. But in recent times, we've all got used to contactless payment, where you can just tap your plastic card against the EPOS system and your account will automatically be debited. So that's how the system works for Visa, MasterCard, which is shown here by the red and orange circles, that's the logo for MasterCard, and American Express. But if we now talk about the other 6 companies on this table, Apple Pay, Alipay, which is a Chinese version of Apple Pay, Google Pay, PayPal, Amazon Pay, and Samsung Pay, all of these systems are essentially digital wallets that are held on your phone or on your tablet, or maybe even on your Apple Watch or some other form of device. And you can use these systems to make payments in exactly the same way as you do with your plastic card. However, the difference with these systems is that you will need to have some form of payment built onto that device. So if you're using Apple Pay, you may actually be using Visa as well. You may have loaded your Visa debit card linked to your Bank of America account onto your Apple device. And when you pay with Apple Pay, you're actually paying with Visa as well. So as it stands right now, when you're using your Apple Pay, you may well be also using another payment system at the same time. Now, going forward, I'm sure that will change. I'm sure you'll be able to link your bank account directly to Apple Pay. Maybe some people can do that already if you've got an online banking system and it's all very state of the art. But for most people, we are still using a credit card or a debit card, which has been loaded onto your payment device, such as Apple Pay, and then you're paying with that. Anyway, I've digressed a little bit. Let's get back to this table. You can see that Visa is the biggest player in the world. The second biggest payment method right now is Apple Pay. And if you think back a couple of years ago, very few people were using their phone to make payments. However, it is now so common that it's the second largest provider. And if you look at the momentum, it's likely that Apple Pay will overtake Visa at some point in the future. And Alipay has very similar characteristics. It's the predominant use of payment in China. And as there are 1.4 billion people there, obviously that's racking up a large volume of transactions. MasterCard is still a big player in this market. It did around $5 trillion worth of transactions in 2021. Google Pay is also increasing in popularity and did around $2.5 trillion worth of transactions, which is less than half of Apple Pay and shows that the Apple iPhone is still the world's most popular device. And then the next four on the list are American Express, PayPal, Amazon Pay, and Samsung Pay. Now, the reason that I wanted to run through that table is to really show you the scale of how big these payment providers are. These are massive businesses, and all of them have withdrawn from Russia. Now, we'll come on to talk about Russia's homegrown MIR payment system in a moment. But in terms of scale in 2021, I wanted to share the figures with you. Visa generated around $964 million in revenue from Russia in 2021, which equated to around 4% of its global turnover. MasterCard generated $755 million from Russia, which also equated to around 4%. And PayPal generated around $127 million, which equated to about 0.5% of its total revenues. Now, in 2021, the MIR payment system was estimated to have taken around 27% of all of the transactions. And that equates to around about $680 million worth of revenue. So when you put that into a global context, the Russian payment company MIR is absolutely tiny when compared to these really big players. Now, as I'm sure you're aware, one of the first actions that the West took following Russia's invasion of Ukraine was to impose a variety of financial sanctions on the country. So Russia was excluded from the SWIFT international payment system, and companies such as MasterCard and Visa, Apple Pay and Google Pay all confirmed that they no longer wanted to do any business in Russia and closed all of their operations. So the removal of these payment systems represented a big challenge for Russia. But because of their previous invasion of Crimea, Russia had already experienced financial problems back in 2014. And at that time, the Russian authorities established a new payment system called MIR, which is a Russian word which has two translations in English, world and, rather ironically, peace. The MIR payment system was established in July 2014 in Russia and was promoted alongside the Visa and MasterCard brands as being a method of payment that Russians could use within Russia. Now, the Russian authorities wanted to promote the MIR payment system as an international way of making payments. And over the last 8 years, the brand has been heavily promoted to a number of different countries. And prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, 10 countries had adopted the system as a method of payment. And these countries were Turkey, Vietnam, Armenia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, South Ossetia, and Abkhazia. Now, as you know, I'm always keen to help everybody expand their knowledge. And you may be looking at this list thinking, I've never heard of South Ossetia or Abkhazia as countries. And there's a good reason for that, because they're not actually independent countries. These are once again occupied areas of another country. This map shows the country of Georgia, and you can see that both South Ossetia and Abkhazia are disputed territories that Russia claims should be part of the Russian motherland, and Georgia obviously believes should be part of Georgia. So it's a very similar story to what we're discussing with regards to the current situation in Ukraine and the situation with regards to Crimea back in 2014. So if we jump back to this list, which shows the 10 countries that are using the MIR payment system, We can discount the two at the bottom. And in reality, prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, there were only 8 countries using this system. Now, it has been reported that Cuba and Venezuela are currently in the process of adopting this system, but I don't have any detailed information to confirm that. Now, the Russian authorities claim that the MIR payment system is going from strength to strength, and the number of transactions in Russia over the course of the summer of 2022 have increased 20 times versus the period for 2021. Now, that isn't really entirely unexpected, because in 2021, around 25% of all transactions in Russia were made using MIR. So that means that 75% were made using Visa, MasterCard, Apple Pay, Google Pay, etc. So if you remove 3/4 of all of the payment systems and leave all of your population with only one option, you would expect that there's going to be a massive increase in the use of that system. Otherwise, the only other alternative is to use cash. But either way, Russia claims that MIR is now a big success, and they're not really feeling any impact of the removal of the other payment methods. But one of the big challenges that the Russian Central Bank was facing was trying to get more countries to adopt the MIR payment system. Now, in terms of holidaying, this table shows the most popular destinations for Russian tourists in 2020 and 2021. And you can see that right at the top of the shop is Abkhazia. So 5 minutes ago, you'd never heard of Abkhazia, and now you've got two great statistics. Firstly, it's one of the countries that uses MIR, and secondly, it's the most popular Russian holiday destination. Second most popular destination in 2021 was Turkey. Third most popular was Ukraine, although I doubt it will appear in the top 10 in 2022. Fourth most popular was Egypt. Number 5 on the list was UAE. 6 was Cyprus. 7 Kazakhstan. 8 Armenia. 9 South Ossetia. And 10 Germany. Now, in terms of expanding the payment options for its tourists abroad, Russia was very keen to get the MIR payment system introduced into both Egypt and the United Arab Emirates, and discussions were reportedly ongoing before the start of the invasion of Ukraine. Now, as I mentioned at the start of this piece, one of the first things that was introduced against Russia after the invasion were financial sanctions. And the MIR payment system was seen as being a loophole to avoid Russia suffering from these sanctions. So in order to address this issue, the USA wrote a number of letters to central banks all around the world, advising them that they would be potentially exposed to secondary sanctions if they provided financial support to Russia, and this included the MIR payment system. As a direct result of this notification, all 5 of the Turkish banks, including the 3 state-run entities, have confirmed that they have now suspended the operation of all MIR payments. Turkey's finance minister, Nuruddin Nebati, confirmed that the 3 state banks have now suspended use of the system. And President Erdogan was quoted as saying that Turkey would have to take steps on finding an alternative to the MIR system due to the sanctions. And this news follows on from the closure of the systems by 2 private banks, İşbank and Denizbank, who were both concerned that it would impact on their other business. As a direct result of these announcements, the Kremlin came out and stated that the Turkish banks had been put under unprecedented US pressure to suspend the use of the Russian payment system. Following on from these announcements, Egypt have now confirmed that they've also suspended the system. A source from the National Bank of Egypt stated that the sanctions imposed on Russia by the US and European allies have forced the Egyptian decision makers to scrap their support for the MIR system. It's believed that a recent increase in tourist flows into Egypt have encouraged Egyptian officials to reverse plans to link the MIR scheme with Egypt's homegrown Visa card system. And another source claimed that Egypt was also worried that using Russian payment systems would undermine its current negotiations with the IMF for a loan to shore up its economy amid a severe shortage of foreign currency. As the USA is the largest single voting bloc in the IMF, holding a 16% share. Following on from these announcements, Armenia, Vietnam and Kazakhstan have also confirmed the suspension of the MIR system, and Uzbekistan have also joined this list. So if we quickly jump back to this list of the countries that were using the MIR payment system prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, you can see that the only countries that are still operating the system are Belarus, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, South Ossetia and Abkhazia. So I think there's 2 things worth noting here. Firstly, Russia has been operating the MIR payment system since 2014, so it's been in place for 8 years, and it hasn't really been able to expand its presence. It did have some limited exposure in a small number of countries, But what we've seen since the invasion is that the threat of secondary sanctions has led to most of these countries suspending the system overnight. And this really tells us a very interesting story about what may happen in 2023. We've been talking on this channel about secondary sanctions for some time. And there's a lot of people in the comments section who are telling me that secondary sanctions don't work, I'm dreaming, it'll never happen. But I think this really shows that the threat of secondary sanctions is real and it is going to hurt Russia in the long term. Because these companies and countries will need to have a look at where they're getting their business from, where they're doing trade, where their exports are going to. And if there's a risk that doing business with Russia means that they could lose all of that, they will then need to weigh up the pros and cons as to whether or not that makes sense. Now, Russia has a population of around 145 million, and the countries that are sanctioning Russia have a considerably higher population. So if you're exporting all around the world, it's going to be very difficult to replace all of the West business with Russia because there simply aren't enough people there, there simply isn't enough demand. And also there's the geopolitical risk of transferring all of your multiple country exports into one country because then you're at the mercy of that country if something goes wrong in terms of the relationship. So the secondary sanctions are a very real threat. And what we're seeing here is an example where the USA have written to all of these countries and said, please stop using this system because you are supporting Russia financially. And all of these countries have complied with that request. So I think this proves categorically that secondary sanctions do work. And once the West gets away from buying all of the gas and oil that it's still taking on a daily basis, then I think the secondary sanctions will really ramp up. And those purchases of gas and oil that countries like India and China are currently making will come into the spotlight, and we may see the screw being turned hard, and it will cause major problems for Russia if all of the countries of the world decide to impose an embargo on their exports in the same way as we've seen happen in the past for Venezuela and Iran. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think there's a number of really interesting takeaways as to what's happening with regards to the payment system in Russia. Now, in this video, we're not talking about international banking payments. It's not the SWIFT system. This is personal payments. This is how individuals make payments for things. And all of those top nine providers that I talked about at the beginning of this video have all exited from Russia. So you don't have any choice. You have to use the MIR payment system in Russia or cash. They are the two options that you've got. And I think this really brings home the problems that Russia has caused for itself. Because in this day and age, we've all got used to electronic payments. It's second nature. I can't remember the last time that I paid for anything with cash. I don't even carry a wallet these days. You just walk around with your phone. When you need to pay for something, you just tap on it. It's really easy and convenient. And we've all got lots of choice as to how we want to do that, whether we want to use Apple Pay or Google Pay or Amazon or use a piece of plastic. It doesn't really matter. You've got that personal preference. You can decide what works best for you. But if you're in Russia right now, you don't really have those same choices. You've got one option, the MIR payment system. And I think only having one option in any avenue of your life is really just a disappointing outcome because you always want to have choice. But more importantly than that, if you're Russian and you want to go on holiday, you obviously want to have some way of being able to pay for things other than taking a large amount of cash with you. And as it stands right now, your options are really limited in terms of the countries that will accept your bank cards and your payments on your phone. Prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the MIR system was starting to be rolled out. It was available in Turkey. Egypt were looking into it, so were the United Arab Emirates and a number of other countries that we talked about earlier in the video. But as a result of the recent correspondence between the USA and all of those countries, many of them have now suspended use of MIR. So if you're Russian and you want to go on holiday to Turkey or Kazakhstan or Uzbekistan, then you will have to take lots of cash with you because there is no other option in terms of how you're going to make those payments because those countries are no longer accepting MIR and you don't have access to any of the other global payment systems. So that's obviously annoying and disappointing if you're Russian. But I think from an economic point of view, the issue that we're talking about here is the secondary sanctions. That's the key takeaway from this video. The reason that Turkey and Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and Egypt have all walked away from the MIR payment system is because they don't want to damage their trading relationships with the West. The West is far too important to all of those countries to want to trade it to just take some revenue from tourists who are coming from Russia. And this really reflects the problem that Russia has with regards to these secondary sanctions, because as they are expanded and as the threat gets larger, more and more companies and countries will walk away from any business that they're doing with Russia. And that means that Russian exports are going off a cliff. And that will also apply to oil when we get to the point when Europe has banned all oil in February 2023. So the secondary sanctions are a very real problem for Russia. You can see it in the evidence that the fact that nobody's using their MERS payment system. They've spent a lot of time and money and effort developing this system over the last 8 years. They've been hoping that their allies would take it to enable the population of Russia to be able to go on holiday somewhere, but also to try to establish MERS as an international player alongside all of the big boys. But unfortunately, it's not getting off the ground. It isn't going to happen. This is only really going to be a domestic system in Russia, at least while the secondary sanctions are in place. And that's a real problem. And it goes back to that whole point we've been discussing about how you develop your technology in isolation. Because if you're not working with all of the rest of the players in the market, you can't be at the cutting edge. You don't know what Apple Pay are doing, what Visa are coming up with, because you're not working with them. They've sanctioned all of the companies in Russia, and therefore you're not being able to share all of the benefit of all the latest thoughts and developments in the market. And this video is only about payment systems, but you can apply that same logic to all of the other technology in Russia. Russia is no longer in dialogue with all of the leading players in all of the industries it works in. And that will mean that it will lose pace against the rest of the world, because the combined effort of all of the people working in those industries will be far greater than the individuals who are living in Russia. So I think the final takeaway from today's video is that what's happening right now in the payments market is a really good analogy to what's happening across the whole of Russia. They are currently isolated, they're no longer in dialogue, they're not developing at the same rate as the rest of the world. That will be detrimental to the economy of Russia. That means it will go backwards. It will also be detrimental to the individuals, the people who live in Russia, because they've no longer got as much choice. They can't do things that they want to do. They've got a limited number of options, and Russia will suffer financially because of all of this. The economy of Russia is definitely shrinking right now, and it's likely to continue shrinking as long as this war goes on and as long as the sanctions are in place. And when the secondary sanctions start to hit home, it's going to get a whole lot worse. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video, you found it interesting, thought-provoking and educational. If you've liked what I've said, please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.